guys, today we have a real awesome treat. We have the pleasure of having Brandon Clay on our video or podcast, whatever we're putting out there. We're trying to use this content to get out to as many agents as possible to help us help 1 million Medicare beneficiaries. That's our goal. And Brandon is going to help us do that because he has a tremendous amount of experience. If you haven't heard him speak, if you haven't read his book,
Six Hours to Six Figures.
That's right. I couldn't remember that second word, but we had at one time bought a copy for every one of our agents in here. Brandon is an author. He's been around the block a time or two with Medicare and the final expense industry and the senior market, and is a phenomenal speaker. So I'm so glad to have him. Brandon, please take just a minute to introduce yourself and tell us what you're up to and what you've been up to for the past however many years.
Yeah, no, thank you, Justin. And certainly appreciate you this morning. And you're someone that I've, once I got initial interactions with you, someone I followed and respect and admire in this space. What you're doing for agents is kind of my goal and mission as well. And even as you talk about the 1 million beneficiaries that you want to reach. But I've been doing this, as you kind of alluded to, a really long time. I had hair when I started, but been doing Medicare very specifically 26 years. I'll maybe get a little more into the historical side of my experiences. But here recently, I've just recently been named CEO of SMA, Senior Market Advisors, which is an organization that supports agents and agencies. But I will tell you, much like you, I'm kind of agnostic around this industry. I love, yes, partners that we have and want to support them. But this industry's been so good to me that if somebody were not connected to me in partnership and hierarchy and all those fancy words, I would want to see them have the same opportunity for success that I've had. And I think that's a lot of why we're kindred spirits on that front. But 26 years in, still love the industry. And if I were talking to those individual agents, I'd tell them that now is actually the greatest time in history to be a part of this industry. So don't shy away.
I would agree. I had some newer agents in the office right before you came in that I was kind of having some introductory conversations with on marketing and just sales opportunities and approaching clients, things like that. And one of them turned to me and asked me, we're the three newest agents with our agency. Can you give us just 2 minutes of, you know, you can do this? And so I just told them, you know, that was part of what I told them. I said, I mean, it's the probably one of the fastest growing industries in the country right now. You know, because of how many people are aging in, how many people need our help, and the tone of the overall recruiting from everyone. I think everyone's doing their part in the industry in different ways. Like, you know, sometimes we'll say, oh, X company's not doing things the way I would do it, but they might be recruiting a whole lot of people in that are a good source of new agent flow. And we need new agents, we need new blood. So I appreciate you saying that too about not having an agenda with trying to help people help more people. And I think that it also is a really, cool thing because people are drawn to that where it doesn't seem like they're trying to sell you yourself to them. You're just saying, I just want to help you. And people like that. And that's where we're at in this thank you economy, as Gary Vee calls it. So Brandon, tell me, can you give me a kind of a synopsis of your career, you know, just real quickly, you know, maybe where you started or when you started and what capacity or role and maybe just quick your take of the evolution of Medicare or in our industry?
Mm-hmm. No, and Justin, that's you know, part of why I love the industry, because I've evolved with it as it's morphed and transitioned and changed. And maybe in a moment, we'll address even those 2 minutes those agents gave you about why this is still an exciting time for this industry. But I started in 1996. I always tell people Medicare didn't change my life. It kind of saved it. No, that doesn't mean I was suicidal or anything of that nature. but I was trying to find the thing that I could connect to that would give me exactly what Medicare has delivered to me, which is a career of longevity, being able to interact with great people and support an industry that I've come to know and love. But in 1996, I started out as an agent, United Healthcare. It was actually called United for Seniors. I thought that was one of the greatest names I'd ever heard. And that turned into becoming a manager, then a director, then a regional director. All of that happened within a year. Then I went to Cigna and started out as a regional director there. That was when Cigna first started their Medicare Advantage plans back in the 90s, late 90s. But I'll tell you, one of the things happened by way of evolution in this industry and the Balanced Budget Act. And look, we're connected to a political machine, but politics don't totally rule it. They just have a say in the way we do our work. But all the carriers pulled out with a few exceptions. So for a few years, I went back to selling life insurance, Final Expense, Shenandoah Life, and all those products back in the day, which is where I built my affinity for Final Expense and life insurance because, again, I had to transition out of survival. But then I got introduced to a company called XL Health, Care Improvement Plus. Some agents may or may not remember it, but it was the first of the Chronic Illness Special Needs Plan, CSNPs, and first of the Dual Special Needs Plans, DSNPs. And I helped design them, cut my teeth on those products. And that little engine that could became one of the fastest growing, largest chronic illness dual special needs in the country, came full circle. It was purchased by United Healthcare in 2011. And then I took a little bit of the road less traveled, started writing books, and then got back into Medicare with distribution in 2016, teaching agents how to layer Final Expense with Medicare, doing it compliantly. And that just kind of took off. It was a message of cross-selling that resonated with agents that had gotten afraid of Medicare because of compliance and urban legend. But it also started to attract carriers that thought, why should we just teach agents to do one thing really, really well? Which is fine. There's riches in niches, as a friend of mine says. But in portfolio selling, it creates an avenue for an agent to survive in so many ways, including COVID. We've had that experience here recently. So I know I've gone a long way into my history and experience, but I think it also lays out the track and the guidelines in my mind for how agents should interact with this business today. But in coming to SMA, it just kind of brings a culmination to my career. And over the next decade, I'll be Medicare eligible. I'm 56 now. So what you described about the continued growth is absolutely part of the opportunity for agents in this current market space.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm always mesmerized by some of the people that I meet that have the diversity that you have by going from the carrier side of things, you know, going through those slumps where, you know, yes, Medicare Advantage, no Medicare Advantage, you know, and then seeing it, you know, carve out of that, being at the inception of the dual special needs rollouts and the chronic plan rollouts that many people didn't even really know were a thing until the last few couple of years, really, that where they've just massively exploded. And then, you know, making that transition into the agent training side and the selling side and all of that. So it's an interesting thing to see people that see both sides. And when you know both sides, those are very valuable. It's a valuable skill set because when you can speak carrier, you know, marketing organization and agent at once, you know the needs of all three entities. And just like you said, yeah, there's riches and niches. And if I'm building a mega call center, I don't want my agents to get distracted. But what's best for the individual agent may not necessarily be the best thing for the machine sometimes. And so like your book, 6 Hours to Six Figures, gives that agent that's trying to get in and carve a path to prosperity a roadmap to do that without having to, you know, sacrifice their own prosperity for the group that's saying, oh, don't focus on that, don't be distracted on MedSup, or Medicare Advantage, when there's hospital indemnity, there's final expense, there's other things, and there are ways to compliantly do it. And I learned something, you know, from you early on about that when you spoke at 8% Nation, the first one in Nashville, on the final expense cross-sell opportunity, because I came in during the middle of compliance hysteria. Mm-hmm. And you would hear these stories about, oh, I know an agent that all he did was date an application a day after his appointment went through with this company, and they got his license terminated. And there would be these crazy stories that turned out to be probably that's that agent's story, but really he was doing something way worse to lose his license. Because my experience has been in writing a lot of volume that the carriers understand what a complaint is. And obviously there are real scumbags out there, but most agents aren't. Most agents are trying to do the right thing. And if a complaint comes through, there's some conversation about what is this? You know, we've had a complaint on like a drug plan or something where somebody, the complaint reads verbatim, the agent told me I'd never pay anything for any drug ever. Well, of course I didn't say that. So they know that there's sometimes, you know, somebody will say something to get off. So compliance has been something that we've had to learn is very necessary, and there's a reason for it, and we can adhere to it, but it's not something that should scare someone out of helping people. So it's a very good point. I'm going to ask some of these interview style questions, okay, that try to help us, you know, pull out some information. And Brandon, I want everybody to know that it's not my style to send you questions I'm going to ask ahead of time. But I think that people like you who know how to off the cuff say something, and you're actually an expert, you actually have something to say, you don't have to manufacture a response, and that's when we get the gold. So first one I'll ask what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? Obviously, I would tell them to buy 6 hours to six figures, but I think this is an important question because I get it all the time, and I have a starting from scratch video on YouTube right now that gets a lot of traction. But you know, people come in and I say, hey, this is a great industry to come into, but they want to know, well, how would I get started? What, you know, oh, and it's a lot. I'd say the first year is the hardest, you know, but even then in massive scaling, you know, we've seen a lot of pain points and struggles too, but we at least have money coming in to help us through those struggles. When you're starting out, you're trying to figure out, how do I feed myself and build my business at the same time? So if you were starting all over in the business, what would be your first advice to someone in that position?
No, and Justin, that's such a great question. And you kind of touched on even some of the answer in framing the question. But the first thing is, even as you mentioned, the urban legend of compliance, Gestapo, and the things that happened in the past is number one, don't let anyone filter your perception of how this industry can change your life for the better. So it's a little bit of, get a little bit of myopathy, tunnel vision, and be focused. Don't look around at your neighbor unless you're coming to events like I know you're a big part of and that you put on, because those are positive environments about what you can do. The second thing is, I always say, and some of this is just sort of my spiritual engrafting, is don't despise the small beginning. You know, when you get into this, you're not going to get to six figures really quick. Even as I have that name, 6 hours to six figures, 6 hours is enough to give you the information as a platform, but you're going to have to put a lot of time and energy. So the first thing is, if there's a price you're going to pay, are you willing to pay it and pay the price? But the first is about knowledge. You're going to have to get educated, and you're not going to get to know everything all at once, but you're going to have to get knowledge. You're going to have to actualize that knowledge and make it actionable. And then the third thing is, your knowledge has to become iterative. You've got to go, you know, start next level, next level. So if I were talking to an agent today that didn't have money for marketing, didn't know how to get started, I actually would tell them to start with final expense. Now, threefold, final expense is a simpler product to learn. It's premium, it's death benefit, and maybe there's some underwriting in limited fashion. But it pays you immediately for your energy and your effort. But then as you're going and doing those and having those experiences and earning those dollars, you want to begin certifying for Medicare, taking AHIP, getting into the certification role. So within the first 90 days, you're making money, but you're building a client base. And then you're able to circle back to that client base and start offering them appropriately and compliantly the Medicare products. And because final expense from a socioeconomic and demographic standpoint is more geared toward low income subsidy, dual eligible, if you're starting April 1st, after the OEP is over, then standard MAPDs, you may not be able to get enough critical mass to make a living. And so while I'm kind of all over the place in the sense of the strategy, it's really threefold. It's knowledge, it's making the knowledge you currently have actionable so that you can start monetizing it because you've got to make a living. And then it's for it to be iterative where it builds on itself and it grows. And then at the end of that first year, as you mentioned, you'll look back, you'll hopefully have sustained yourself financially, but then you'll be looking at a blended portfolio model where your renewals and your new opportunities for new prospects and new clients, you're no longer worried and wondering where your next sale is going to come from. Business is actually waiting on you January 1 because of referrals, cross-selling, or the fact that you've built pipelines that bring you more opportunity. And then in the fourth frame of that, once it's progressive, invest in your business. And even as my friend and your friend Cody would say in 8% Nation, I did this once I was there 2 years ago. Every person that owns a business, whether it's a singular agent, an agency, or a CEO of a big corporation, 8% of your revenue should be at minimum invested back into your business for future growth. So I know, Justin, that was a lot of nuggets there, but that would be the four things I would tell agents to do.
Yeah, I agree. I teed up the part of my response this morning. I said, you know, Grant Cardone's out there telling people to live off 20% of their income. I'm going to be way more generous than that. I'm going to give you back a little bit more than that. But the longer someone can delay gratification, the better they can do in the beginning. And delay gratification, obviously, we're not going to starve to death, you know, and we have to try to make money so that we can have our family taken care of. But if you can live kind of like the Dave Ramsey mentality, and I hate to say that in a talk where we're talking about selling final expense because he doesn't understand that market very well. But he does say live like no one else today, so later you can live like no one else. And if you can get through that first 2 years and give back, like you said, at minimum 8% or, you know, 15 or 20% put back in the marketing and growth, then you can build a, you know, solid book to expand upon. And I do like the idea of starting with final expense, getting some cash surge up, storing away some money to be able to live off of while then going into the Medicare space and starting to go back and target people that you had already talked to go through and see if you can help them with Medicare after you've learned one product. I even told them this morning, I said, don't look at, you know, don't say, oh, you know, the agents in Justin's office are doing 20 apps. I only did five. When I started, if I wrote five, that was a kick-ass week for me. Like I thought, man, I'm doing great. If I can write five apps a week, you know, the targets change over time. And also a lot of it is product knowledge. When we bring in a new agent, I don't say, even as an LOA agent in my office, I put them on Medigap rewrites at first. I have them calling the book and learning, just saying, you know, hey, just wanted to let, you know, talk to you and see if we could help you with anything. Just the easiest type of product to learn with a customer that wants to talk to them so that they can get their feet wet doing something, get some confidence going that the conversation has a close. And then say, okay, now let's learn this type of, you know, lead and what to do, and then start putting them out there and start to round out. We, you know, people say, well, we do under 65 health, we do ancillary, but we learn all that over time. It's not like day one I put you through a boot camp and you got to write all of this stuff. That would be impossible. And honestly, it would be dangerous to helping those people to expect someone to be able to pick all that up at one time. So great points there. I think it's one of the hardest questions I have to answer is how do I get started? And I think I might start incorporating, like, hey, let's lean on final expense a little more in the beginning to help out for sure. So, well,
you know, and Justin, because you touched on something, even as you mentioned, we're being extemporaneous here in terms of free flowing, because I know you and how you deploy. So the whole key is whatever strategy you get into, be committed to it. So I said final expense because of what I'll call, there's essentially no barriers to entry, but it's an easy product to learn, but it is difficult to sell. Now, to bridge that gap is what I know your focus could be, and I would absolutely be in agreement with it as a system, are the Medigap rewrites, MedSup generally, because there's a little less barrier to entry. It doesn't require certifications and some of the things that Medicare Advantage might. And because there's no network and some of the other things, it's not nearly as complicated as Med Advantage. The key in all of that, though, is while there is no one specific right way, don't get so distracted by the bright, shiny objects. Get into a system-driven approach. Be focused on that system-driven approach. Be committed to it. And any one of those paths could deliver you, because I know you could show me agents that did it the way you described. I can certainly show agents that did it in another fashion. The key, though, is to set a target, build in your objectives, and make your tactics totally align so that you're not flitting all over the place, changing your strategy every other day. And that's one of the biggest problems I do see with newer agents, is not being focused and committed.
Yeah. Definitely. So, I told in that same question this morning, you know, I got it this morning face to face. And, I said, you know, I've read all these studies before that talk about the number one measurable trait of someone who's successful is grit, because it's not easy. There is no like immediate path to prosperity. If it was easy, everyone could do it. And then we wouldn't even be having a conversation. There'd be no room for consulting in, and everybody just pop in and become a millionaire overnight. You know, nothing is like that. Anything worth doing is difficult. And the people that are successful in it have the grit to get through the hard and formative times and the discipline to give back to their business and their models. So, you know, it's a difficult question to answer, because the answer is something that there is no trick. It's work hard, you know, pursue, you know, the if there is a trick, it's pursue, you know, a simple, you know, be in that niche and that lane, and then begin to build upon that once you get comfortable. I was telling them that this morning, don't be worried about, you know, getting out of that lane and then master something. And as you get the confidence, begin to build your repertoire of different things that you can offer, different marketing strategies, all of that. So, so awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to pull my list of cool questions up here and see if I can help drive some more interesting conversation. So I want to ask you, what is one common myth about our industry or profession that you want to debunk, that if you could debunk it overnight and nobody would say it ever again? What's one? Can you think of any?
Well, we touched on it, and I think it's starting to debunk itself, because urban legend was exactly that around compliance and scaring agents away, and the barriers to entry. So what I'd want to debunk is that, you know, number one, the industry is now wide open for people to come in, even if you've never done this before. It doesn't require, you know, one of the debunks would be you haven't missed the big party. Mm-hmm. You know, now true, from 1996 to 2006, I had a party. From 2006 to 2016, I was at a party. But now from 2016 into the next decade, there is emerging growth opportunity. So you've not missed the window. I think that now would become the new debunk, because a lot of people think, well, it's too late. The Medicare ship has sailed. No, another ship just pulled up. And then along with that, but I think, again, it's a diminishing urban legend is around the compliance. But to your point, if you're doing good things in good conscience and trying to do the right thing for your clients, you may run into an issue here and there, but it's not going to be a career stopper. That's just not the way this industry works. Do you need to do all the right things and be mindful? Sure. But I think the first one, I think I'll stick with that first answer, or the last bigger answer, is the opportunity has not diminished and you're not too late. This is still a wide open industry for someone coming new yesterday or new today, and likely even someone coming a year from now. This will still be a great industry.
I absolutely agree. I have had people ask me several times if it's too late, or if it's too hard. Is it probably more expensive from a certain type of lead acquisition costs? It's funny because the market is growing at such a rapid pace because of how many people are aging in, that what we're seeing in certain types of marketing, you know, be it seminars or direct mail, you can target turning 65s, and those groups are consistently changing. So while they might get inundated for 6 months, it's a 6 month period, and it's a new group at 6 months altogether all the time. And if you could take, I tell people too, like, you get creative to stand out, you know. So some of the guys that I know right now that are doing a lot of education online, they quit doing hyper targeting and said, I'm going to target everyone that's 64. Now, can I sell them anything right now? No. Am I going to take an application? No. But if I'm educating them, you know, the moment they turn 64, they're seeing these webinars or seminars or whatever, and I get them in my system, and then all of a sudden now they're in Medigap open enrollment, and I can reach back out, you know, if they're interested in Medigap, or if they're in their IEP, I can reach back out when they get in their IEP. But I'm educating them from the beginning and building that relationship earlier on. That's a creative concept, or just doing something to stand out. If everybody's sending a card, everybody's sending a tri-folded letter, there's probably the next step you can take. You can send something else that just sets you apart. So I think, you know, people can get creative and that can stand out, or they can just play the numbers game and still do well, because there's a consistently this new group of people. There's new people qualifying for low income subsidies, all kinds of stuff that is constantly changing. So I don't think that it's a diminishing opportunity. In fact, I think it's growing. And I would say probably until 2027 to 2030, it'll be on the upward slope, and then it won't plummet after that. I think it'll just maybe plateau for a little bit. But even then, the opportunity will be bigger than it is now. It'll just plateaued from what the opportunity is. So, Justin, I'd
love this, because you trigger some additional thoughts, and I know you're thoughtful around this business. So I'll even take the debunking that the opportunity is shrinking and go a little bit into the numbers, if you'll indulge. So we all know the mythical 10,000 a day, and actually it's a little higher than that, but that's 365,000 people, or I think that's what it is. But whatever 10,000 times 364 and a quarter days a year, and 37-ish% of those people new to Medicare, turning 65, not even under 65 disability, are choosing Medicare Advantage, and roughly 25-ish% nationally are choosing MedSup. In just first year commission, not even the renewal tail, first year commission, that's close to $1 billion in commission at agent level rates. Now, what I tell agents, so the size of the opportunity is large, and that's not the musical chair of Medigap rewrites or people being reviewed for their PDP and the AEP, and maybe they change plans. There's a lot of that happening each and every year, and it's not the same agent moving them in the musical chair proposition. So the group is growing largely, but this is what I tell agents. How much of that money is yours depends on how many people in the room you can help. If there's 100 people in that room and 37% choose Med Advantage, 25% choose MedSup, let's say we can help 70 people out of the 100 in that room, theoretically. If you only do MedSup, you can only help 27 of them if you got to all of them. But if you're doing Medicare, what if you only know MAPD and that's your group? But you can expand that by learning what LIS is. You can expand that by learning how VA works. You can expand that by becoming DSNP savvy. The savvier and the more knowledge you gain, the 100 people you have access to, you now have the ability to help even more of them. So whether it's the ones aging in over the next decade into 2030, as you mentioned, or whether it's you helping the people with musical chairs make better qualified, informed decisions, a new agent walking in, if they iteratively learn those pieces, I don't need to learn LIS and DSNP and, you know, QMB and SLMB and QI and FBDE, all of that may sound like garbly goop right now, but if in 90 days you're even functionally, or as they say, consciously incompetent about those things, you'll get the support you need from the carriers, from your upline, from your partners, from watching videos, Justin, that you put on out on YouTube. Now you've got the knowledge. And then you get that book of business that gives you that six-figure renewal over a short period of time. The opportunity is not only not shrinking for those of us that are willing to be excellent in our knowledge and in our application of that knowledge and service. As you serve, you deserve, the sky's the limit. And I know that sounds metaphorical in some degree, pie in the sky, but it's absolutely true.
I absolutely agree. I often say, and I don't remember where I picked this up. It's not something I made up, but your income, you know, or the impact that you can make is directly correlated with the complexity of an issue that you can solve. And so you just hit that when you can, you know, learn all of those things over time. You don't have to. It's not like, you know, I have to learn this from the get-go. I can get in these smaller things, but over time you should crave expanding your portfolio or your knowledge base, because if you don't, you know, you'll be put out by somebody else, or you'll never fully prosper, you know, the way that you want to. And so typically what I find is the people that are successful at any level want to be successful at more levels. They don't stop. Someone that finds success most of the time isn't happy with X level of success. There's some sort of high related to getting to the next level and doing a little bit better and finding out a way to help more and more people. If it's directly correlated to the complexity of the issue I could solve, then that means that, if I learn how to help more people in more scenarios, then I can earn more money because I'm able to help more people. And any room full of Medicare beneficiaries becomes a more target rich environment for me because I understand these things. And then also some people say, well, all I want to write is Medigap. And I say, well, then the complexity part of your puzzle is how many people can you write? And then it becomes a distribution complexity, which is completely different than a product knowledge complexity. There's different ways to do things. We do things where we are a high output and efficient, smaller group of agents in my core here, because we can solve a lot of different problems. And we try to train an agent to be able to solve a lot of different problems. I have friends that they just, you know, if they could rewrite a plan F to a plan G all day long, as many times as possible, that's what they would do. But guess what? That model's expensive in its own right, because they're having to find a very unique scenario. So their cost per lead and cost per acquisition is much higher than what mine is, when I'm just saying, oh, you got what going on? Yeah, we can help with that. Oh, you got that going on? Oh, we can help with that. You know, because I'm able to help more people in a smaller group. But they have to go after a much more targeted environment. So it always is directly correlated with the complexity of the issue you solve, no matter how you look at it. So, and that's exactly what you're saying there, you know, if you can learn that. And so from the individual agent perspective, I think it's absolutely pertinent to go in, learn one concept, and then master it, and then start adding to what you're doing. You know, it's going to be almost impossible to climb out of that individual agent hole without getting really good at multiple things for a little while, over time. So awesome, man. Well, I mean, you know, that's how this goes, is we dialogue a little bit, and honestly, I think, you know, it's so fun to do these types of interviews and talk to somebody that really takes this profession and this industry seriously, because we can, you know, get together and learn from one another. And I think it helps a lot of people out there. But what's really cool about Brandon is he has committed to April 2022 Medicare Con. If you've seen him speak, you're going to want to see him speak again because he's awesome. But if you haven't, just getting in the room with the guy is a wealth of knowledge and information. We're getting some awesome people speaking this year that are going to bring the thunder, if you will. Now I'm saying, you know, another metaphor, but like Brandon, what we're trying to do with Medicare Con is bring real industry professionals. But something cool about him though is he's almost like an entertainment person himself. He's entertaining to watch. He's lively. He keeps no other Medicare specific or senior market specific personality is as easy to digest and watch as him. So very excited about him coming. So tell us, can you tell me, Brandon, why you decided you wanted to be involved in Medicare Con and what you think about what we got going on?
No, Justin, number one, it's because you asked, and I have such a high respect and an admiration for what you've done. And we've seen each other in multiple environments, so I know you're the real deal. I just want to be connected in sort of the give back component. If I were sharing my day one story with agents, it went from struggle, just like a lot of us, to success, to significance. And that's not to say I'm better than, it just means it's a path, it's progressive, it's iterative. And now I'm really kind of in this last frame of my decade, and I'm not putting time on me by any stretch, but from 56 to 66, I'm looking for legacy. And whether it's books that I write so that there's something indelible and that can go into the future, or whether it's being part of things that you do that have innovation, that have imagination and are at the target, the heart of it is to serve agents just for the industry at large. There's no agenda, no ulterior motive. And so me being much older than you in that respect, you've reached that level of significance and now legacy at such an early age. Why wouldn't I want to be a part of something like that? So I'm excited and love just being able to support and help agents grow.
Man, I'm excited too. I know it's going to be awesome. Getting out to a conference is an interesting thing, because it's not just about seeing the people speak from stage, but it's about getting in the room with people and, you know, stealing a minute of their time. And I can tell anybody that had the, you know, privilege of stealing a minute of Brandon's time. I was able to do that several years ago. And I think being able to communicate early on with people like Brandon and several other people that will be at Medicare Con and are at all conferences that I would try to tell people to get in the room with is impossible to replace those interactions and that advice and that connection. And the only way you can do it, I saw a guy, he's actually a PHP agent. He's got a pretty significant following online, posted something the other day, and it was about, you know, it was basically this hype video about how Zoom can't replace in person. You just can't replace the energy that you get by going and meeting people in real life. And I'm so glad that things are, you know, beginning to open back up and that's beginning to be accepted, because getting in the room with you and some of these guys is, you know, one of my favorite things. It keeps me rejuvenated. So Brandon, just, you know, I'm very excited that you're going to be there. Can you tell everybody in the meantime how they could find you online and where they could find your books and give us some feedback like that?
Well, so certainly I'm taking a page from your book and trying to leg my way into social media. It's funny, as you mentioned, I interact with a lot of the people that do a lot of what you do and admire, and certainly I need to evolve more in that arena. But certainly Amazon has the books, and I would tell you, whether it's 6 hours of Six Figures or Sales Crumbs from the Master's Table, they're all designed to kind of help us in sales, very specifically Medicare by way of 6 hours of Six Figures. I have an emerging website, BrandonLClay.com, where you'll find blogs and content that kind of talk about my philosophical approach to life and sales, but also instructional. I kind of fancy myself a storyteller, strategist, and a coach. But really, in that vein, Justin, I think those would be ways to be introduced to who I am, how I think about this industry, and to get more information. But then, by way of being a little more visible in social media, which will be happening here over the next several weeks to months, and then also events like what you put on, I think I'll have my chance to interact with some of your viewers.
Absolutely. I'm excited about it, and Brandon's excited about it, and we're going to get together there. But in the meantime, I'm sure we'll be seeing him at some other events. Are there any other events in the interim? Will you be at 8% in Dallas this year, do you think, or some of these other ones?
So not 8% in Dallas this year. It'll be the first one I missed since those started. But I think you're going to Las Vegas in May.
That's right. You're going to be at the 8-Figure Mastermind in Vegas. So I would encourage, you know, anyone that's not going to that, that's interested in meeting Brandon. It's going to be a more exclusive kind of group. It's about 50 of us. I'm really excited about that one. I'll be heading out there a couple of days earlier, meeting with Lightspeed and Brad Lee and some of those guys. We're pretty pumped about that. But yeah, Brandon will be there. So if you haven't checked that out, you can go over to 8figuremastermind.com. That's the number 8, not spelled out, unless they bought that domain and forwarded it. I don't know. But 8figuremastermind.com would be a cool way to get in touch, you know, in the interim, because unfortunately we have a whole year until the next Medicare con. But, you know, it's coming. It'll be here before you know it. So, Brandon, thank you so much for taking the time to sit with us and drop some gold. And I can't wait to see you again in May. And, you know, anybody else that has any questions, you can drop them in the comments on here, or you can reach out to him on BrandonLClay.com, and we will all be there to help you. I know he wants to help, so I'm sure he'll get back to you or forward you to somebody that can help you in the interim. Talk to you guys soon.